You know, 2/3 of Trump's wives are immigrants, proving, once again, we need immigrants to do jobs most Americans won't do.
Touch it.
Give my two things you've tried. I'm the one that can satisfy you.
Howdy, folks. Welcome to Notcast. This is episode 338, and we're here to talk about lesbian mom anime.
Anime.
Yes. It was actually rather funny. I was typing up the title of the episode, because we were sitting there going, what are we going to title this show? And I was like, oh, I'll bring it up. And then I mistyped the name as anime. Lesbian moms, the anime. So that's why the file name is that. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And Shiva is sick this week, so she is not able to join us. Well, she said she's feeling sick, and we don't want to share.
Yeah.
I'm already dealing with spring allergies in Texas, because what the fuck is winter around here anymore?
Yeah.
So all the juniper is, like, just coming all over my face.
And I'm just dealing with being me.
Yeah. The horrible reality of being Fuzz.
Mm. I mean,
what can you do?
The unbearable heaviness of being.
Yes. So, boy howdy. It's been a week. We're all still here. Hope you all are too.
Day 14 of Trump's America. We're broadcasting live from the bunker.
Yep.
Rations are running low.
It's a good thing I went and picked up condoms because, well, reasons. I don't know.
Shiva's not here because we were hungry.
And you know, they got all that extra meat.
I know. Oh, my God. So many legs.
Just avoid the liver. Lots of vitamin A there. It'll kill you.
Okay. But I don't even know what. Okay.
If you try, specifically polar bears, like whatever one of the things, like never have polar, don't eat bear liver because it has a high enough concentration of vitamin A to kill you.
Good to know.
This has been a science fact with Saverin.
So you just take the liver, yank it out, and then you crawl inside and stay warm for the night.
Yep. That is indeed how it works. So, yeah, in the furry world, the march towards Fiesta is ever, ever closer. We've got, it's the tail end of March, so not quite 2 months now. And then right after that, FWA.
Wow.
I haven't been to that in a number of years, but Taryn has asked me to come with as a table assistant, so I'll be slinging books there.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be nice. Well, I didn't get to go to PAX South.
Yeah.
Biggest Little Fur Con was a wash. Anthrocon, yeah. Because the room situation is there may or may not be a room depending on if someone else goes or not, and if they so, well, then I don't get to go.
Right.
Yes. Because I know people going with are like, yeah, our room's full. We got a half dozen people in our room. And I'm like, well, I ain't going to be number 7, homie.
You just stack the bodies in the closet.
Yep. I'm sleeping in the bathtub. Nobody turn on the water.
Jeez. Yeah, I'm not 20. I'm not doing
I'm
that
way too
shit.
Old for that shit.
I'm too old for this shit. Yeah, in my room, it's already like me, Taryn, Zia, probably Ajax.
Yeah.
Bucks rooming with a friend. So yeah. That's our for planet crew.
Then, you know, it is Anthrocon.
Yeah.
I'd have to, you know, don't want to, well, I'll just keep my mouth shut. So, it's interesting to see how certain cons are, because last week there was this little bit of bit with BLFC.
RMFC.
Yeah, not RMFC, right, shit. BLFC is just in Reno, and we're not going because reasons, but RMFC. RMFC. Their furry raider problem. Infestation.
Yeah.
Cancer. Like, I really wish, and this is what kills me, right? So, the situation is such, there's this group, the furry raiders. They're essentially Nazi furs. They are Nazi furs. And they had a presence, have had a presence for a number of years. The con's going in on this is their 10th year?
Something like that, yeah. It's been around a while.
Obviously, with the political climate as it is, people aren't too keen on Nazis. for some reason. And basically, like, their social media goon wrote this defense of this, their, I guess, their leader, or at least he's a...
He got all pissed off about the way he had to handle a social media issue on that he had handled their Twitter. Like, people were like, no, we're not cool with these Nazi furs being at the con. And so, like, months later, when everyone's forgotten about this, he decides to post a big-ass blog about how pissed off he was that, you know, we weren't nice to the Nazis, I guess. And I'm like, okay, everyone had forgotten about this drama, but I'm sure the rest of the con staff must love the fuck out of you for reminding us all about this bullshit.
Like, right, this con,
because this shit happened. This, basically, the furry raider group, like, booked up a large chunk of the con's room block before last year's convention, and the con worked it out with them, and they got the rooms back, and then last year's convention happened. So this hasn't, I mean, we're a whole into a whole other convention cycle now. So this was like a non-issue at this point.
Yeah.
And then this guy, if I was a con chair, I would want to strangle him. So this guy went, ran his mouth off again.
Brought it back up.
It starts making its way around Twitter, and people are like, hey, this is a con social media guy being a shit.
Yeah.
And so calls came out to be like, hey, RFC, you going to fucking do something about this? And apparently something happened behind the scenes. That guy is no longer in charge of their social media. And RFC took a stronger stance than they had in the past, but not as strong as I'd like. And they said that all that shit is banned. You're not allowed to wear Nazi paraphernalia. The furry raider's silly armbands that has a paw instead of the swastika.
Hostica.
Yeah, somebody called it a postica, and I was like, oh. No. Yeah.
Like, seriously, conventions are such fragile beasts.
Yeah.
And all it takes is a dipshit running their mouth when they really not ought to. I mean, the furry raiders are themselves an issue. Like, those motherfuckers need to go.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to, like, the business side of a convention, having a rogue social media goon go rogue and just shit up their feed up to and including retweeting their own personal defense of these fuckers from the con account, if it was me, they'd have been fired and the password changed on social media, like, instantly.
Mm-hmm.
After I shat my organs in anger. Right? Like,
right.
Because, yeah, this dragged that con's reputation through the mud. Now, they really need to shape up their fucking act. If they have to run a clean year this year before I think a lot of people are going to consider going back. Like, the people that see this shit happen and go, well, that's off the list. You know, they have to run a clean year. I mean, and this is in August. This is months and months from now.
Yeah, they should really, like, proactively reach out to all the people that they saw that were saying, well, I'm not fucking going to that con. Like, they need to reach out to them and be like, hey, we made these changes.
It's like, yeah, I'd totally go and spend the weekend high as shit, except for all the Nazis.
Having those World War II flashbacks while you're packing up your edibles, you know.
Just like, oh, good thing I got my bat.
Yeah.
100 Nazi scalps. That'll reduce attendance next year.
But they're fursuit scalps.
they can fix the heads, you know.
Yeah.
It was something that came up last week, but we didn't want to talk about it because they hadn't, like, made their action yet.
Yeah, the con hadn't resolved the situation yet. But now, like, I guess they've done.
I tweeted it like, "Yo, you need to fire social." I tweeted at the con, "You need to fire social media guy. Change the password too." You know, because I mean, that'd be like, you know, when it comes to my convention, the only people that have the keys to the con Twitter account are myself and my co-chair.
Yeah,
it's not that we don't trust somebody to do it; we don't have a need for it, for one, because we're not big enough to necessitate it. And two, if we end up saying something stupid, it's on our own heads.
Mm-hmm.
Not we handed the keys over to Johnny McBroney the 25-year-old who's impassioned about thing, you know, who wants to
shit we post. Should invite Milo to speak at Nightmare Nights.
Oh, you know, the weirdest thing about him being in the news lately is apparently I'm pronouncing his name wrong. Like, I've always seen M-I-L-O as Milo, but people are pronouncing it Milo.
Buckhead McGee.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking of, like, there's that other actor.
I don't know.
I forgot his name. Milo is something. He played Peter Petrelli.
Milo in Heroes. Milo's brother. No.
He played Peter Petrelli in Heroes.
Okay.
It's Milo Ventimiglia, long last name. Man. But I don't know. Maybe that's a British versus American pronunciation or something. I'm not sure. What?
He's a real piece of shit.
Yeah, he's a total piece of shit.
Hey, I'm pretty sure that if anybody switched off at this point, that they somehow didn't know our rather spicy political opinions.
You know, I've seen some stuff on Twitter where I was like, where people were like telling J.K. Rowling that they were like burning their Harry Potter books and DVDs because they didn't like the way she was speaking out about Trump. And I was like, and she had retweeted something like, you know, 15 years or seven books 17 about y- no, 17 years of her seven books are basically taking down an asshole like this, you know, like apparently you weren't reading very well. And another one, the one that was like, I'm going to burn my DVDs and books. She replied, well, the DVDs are probably toxic and I've already got your money. So please borrow my lighter.
Yeah. It's like, that's how you do it. It's like, oh, you're going to burn a book.
Really?
Really?
I hear there were some people that did that back in the 40s, you know?
I did not see that coming.
It just kind of shows what kind of people you're dealing with that are like, I'm going to burn my books because I disagree with you. And I'm like, you know, if I owned a book by someone that turned out to be a real shitbag, like if I had like an Orson Scott Card book or something, I might throw it away, or I might just like throw it in a donation box or yeah. something, I'd get rid of it, but I wouldn't.
You just don't fucking burn books.
I would burn it, you know?
Like, I don't know, like, it, the whole never burn a book thing, like, obviously it's destruction of knowledge, and this has been used historically to
mm-hmm.
delete knowledge from human existence, essentially.
Yeah. And
so, like, even since the printing press became a thing, we have had this cultural thing ingrained, it's like, don't. Never burn a book. Don't throw away books. Don't
you know why? Books. Well, okay, I don't know if this is a definitive reason, but the historical reason I can think of is the burning of the Library of Alexandria.
Yeah.
Like, it was this massive repository of knowledge back in the ancient world. Like, all these scrolls that were like, and they would have, like, visitors would come to the city, you know, on boats or whatever, and the librarians would be like, hey, do you have scrolls? And they would, like, let us borrow your scrolls. We'll copy them by hand, you know, inscribing them and all that. And then, you know, we give you the copy and we keep the original in the library. And that's how they would collect information from basically all over the world because of all of these people that, like, came through the port and stuff like that. And then it got destroyed and, like, and all that information back then just gone. And, you know, I don't, like I said, I don't know if it's a direct one-to-one causality, but it's really interesting that, like, yeah, we've had these points in human history where a massive amount of cultural information has been lost.
Yeah.
And now we're sort of like.
And of course, we saw this in World War II as well. Yeah.
And nowadays, if you burned a book, that would probably not do very much because it's probably digitally printed and you can just get another one from Amazon or there's an ebook edition.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of books that aren't, but, like, realistically, you know, if I burned Ender's Game, there's like 8 million copies.
Yeah, or, and it even says like as much that. On the cover. It's like 8 million copies sold.
Yeah, and you can always get another one, but there's still something sort of viscerally.
It's a taboo.
Yeah.
And it's a taboo I'm fine existing because, like, I mean, at least give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
But I just find the burning of any book seems to be, like, it just rubs me massive the wrong way.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I'm going to burn entertainers' books. like, whatever. They don't care. They got your money.
Right. You're just wasting money. Then.
You spent the money and you're burning the book.
You could go get, like, you know, you could take that.
Get $350 from Half Price.
I was just thinking that. You could take that $300 worth of books and get like $5 back from Half Price.
Yeah. That's not what they'll give you.
Because they pay like fucking GameStop rates. They don't pay you shit. But,
yeah. But at least you can turn around and get more books that way.
You're like, ha, J.K. Rowling. I'm going to buy this Milo Yiannopoulos book instead. And she'd be like, okay.
Like, you already spent, like, $200 on these books.
She'd be like, you know, I'm a billionaire, right? Now yeah. I'm going to go donate this to some liberal causes. Cause she's,
like, I'm going to go,
yeah.
Like, I'm going to go fund Planned Parenthood myself.
Gonna go save some orphans.
Yep. Oh man. So
there's this I saw this image that Dr. Seuss drew way back in the day.
1940s.
Yeah, and the character is saying something like, but there were foreign children, so it didn't really matter. And I was just like, oh god damn, that is like so topical.
Well, also the phrase on the written on the person's chest was America first.
Yes. Yes, that's
that
right.
Was the fascist group in America that was wanting the U.S. to stay out of World War II.
Yep.
Huh.
And also, America didn't fucking lift its finger until its own land was threatened.
Yeah, that's the thing. America can count on us to do the right thing when all other avenues are exhausted.
Yeah.
But that was like a historical phrase.
Like, we were perfectly fine just sitting there watching this fascist empire take over half a continent, didn't do a thing until Pearl Harbor.
And like, hey!
But Americans like to run in like, oh, we're the big hero, we saved the day.
I mean, shit, even in World War I, we showed up way fucking late.
Yeah. Just like, man, this country, God. We think so highly of ourselves with so little reason.
Yep, but God loves us, right?
Yeah, totally. That means we can do anything.
Yeah. Like,
I'm not, like I said on Twitter, I'm not anti-American. I'm meh American. Because it seems like there's no middle ground. Like, people are like, America's the best country in the world. And if you say it's not, like, maybe we're in the top 10, you know?
Fucking commie Nazi, get out of here.
Right. You're automatically like the worst fucking thing ever. And it's like, I don't get that whole my country is number one thing. I don't even say that about my own country. You know?
It's like,
I mean, Scotland, it's better than England. We have less fascists.
Yeah. And they were like, nah, we're cool with the EU.
We voted to remain. You know, but fuck, if I had to move to another country, I might hit up Canada, I might hit up somewhere in Europe.
I mean, you at least have, you know, you're still a Scottish citizen, ain't you?
Yeah, I'm still a Eurofag.
Yeah, I mean, me, I'm 100% American. I better start learning Chinese at this rate.
They've been saying that since the 60s.
So yeah, well, keep pissing them off.
Yeah, that's really not... really not. I mean, nothing about this is good. You know, I don't know why Trump is pissing off the Chinese, the Australians, the Mexicans, the Iranians.
The Canadians.
Is he pissed off Canada, too?
I'm sure
at some point. Like, everything I just listed are people that he's pissed off, like, in the last few days, you know? Like, I'm going to go down to Mexico and I'm going to dip my balls in their mouth.
Well, like, we were at fucking Wendy's this evening, and they were like, oh, I was saying it in a joking manner that I'm going to send my troops to take up to clean up your shit. And I'm like,
yeah.
Yes, I'm going to jokingly violate your sovereignty and bring a war to basically South Texas. This will go well.
Oh, God. It'd be right on our fucking doorstep, wouldn't it?
I mean, yeah, we're a few hundred miles from the border, but still.
I don't want a war a few hundred miles from my border.
Yeah. What do you think about the poor fuckers in, like, Brownsville and El Paso and Eagle Pass and, you know, all the little border towns? It's like, yeah, they really want to deal with that shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And just so you know, guys, the southern border with Mexico is kind of big. Like, And that really, like, crystallizes it further. It's like, this fucking Cheeto is threatening a war on our fucking doorstep, essentially.
That whole wall thing is fucking dumb.
Like, and hey, you know, you're too old to be drafted. I'm not.
Did they change it?
I think it's 35.
It was 26.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going
to double check that shit. Cause...
Well, when I registered, when I was 18, it was 26. I did hear they were thinking about raising it, but
let's see.
I don't know if they did.
Okay. No, let's see. U.S. military use lottery system to select workers, and those between age of 18 to 26 are drafted first. So the specific age requirements are set for enlisting and retiring soldiers. Men with specialty skills are drafted up to maximum age of 45. But I don't have any special skills. I'm just an average faggot, so they don't want me.
Yeah. Same here. Oh, for once, it's good to be dumb.
Yay! Jesus Christ. I was, like, looking at my phone and realized just how fucking many tabs I had open in Safari.
Really?
Because I had to Google that shit real quick, and it made a new window. And I'm like, there's, like, a dozen tabs open on my phone. No wonder it was draining the battery.
God, I try to keep that as low as possible on my phone. Just sort of out of a weird habit. Not really because I've noticed any issues or whatever.
Yeah. So, Shifting topics from politics on our horrifying political reality. If you tuned out, you can tune back in now, because I'm going to gush about fucking anime.
Okay.
And Fuss is like, all right, I'm going to go look at Twitter.
Oh, Fresh Horrors Machine. Show me what new fresh horrors there are.
No. So I'm just going to say that Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid is the cutest fucking anime of the season so far. That and Little Witch Academia are both, like, still way up there, super fucking cute and funny. Lesbian Moms the Anime is the people's description of it. And it's really cute because it's Miss Kobayashi, who's this very androgynous woman who digs maids. Her fetish is maids. It's implied she's a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And she hooks up with a dragon somehow. Like, she was up in the mountains and drunk and came across this dragon and was like, hey, you want to come home with me? And then the next day, she wakes up with a hangover, and the dragon is there as a dragon,
mm-hmm.
but then transforms into a humanoid with a big, thick tail and a maid. And she's like, wait, what? It's like, yeah, you asked me to come live with you and be your maid. I did? Yeah. Oh. And then, like, there are four episodes into the season, so it could fly off the rails and be horrible, but I really doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
Toru's, who's the name of the dragon, the first dragon, like, her little sister shows up, or like, a relative or something, Kana. And she's, like, a young dragon, so she's only a couple hundred years old, but she still has, like, the physical appearance of a little kid. And so, basically, she starts going to human school. And so the fourth episode is basically them going shopping together and buying school supplies. Is human
school where you learn to human?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, if you really think about it, yeah, actually. Human school is where you learn to be a human.
You're right.
For all humans, even.
Okay.
And, like, them just doing the shopping, and it's just such a fucking cute show right now. And
is it hella kawaii?
It's kawaii as fuck, yo. And the, like, in the episode prior, there were the characters were walking down the street holding hands. And I was just like, aw, that's so cute. And it's not necessarily that Toru is a lesbian. She is Kobayashi sexual. He just really, really, really loves Miss Kobayashi.
Mm.
And just flat said, oh, I'm so happy I fell in love with Miss Kobayashi. And Miss Kobayashi is just like, I'm cool with this. So it's a super cute show. Little Witch Academia continues to be really cute. It's a shame you have to pirate it to watch it right now, but it's still good. And... oh, what else was it? Well, there's... And Tanya the Evil continues to be what the fuck. Like, I've shat on that show, and I'm just like, it's such an unappealing, ugly show with such a weird-ass setting, but I still watching.
Mm.
It's like, you want to see how much of a train wreck it can be.
My sister sent me a picture like this at some point.
Boy or girl, me, 20 chicken nuggets. It's a picture of a heavily pregnant woman and people touching her belly, and they're like 20 chicken nuggets instead of it being a child. Shifting back, I saw a tweet. It's like, man, Beyonce got more black people in her than Donald Trump's cabinet.
Who does what?
Beyonce's pregnant with twins.
Oh, right. Oh my God.
She's got more black people in her than Donald Trump's cabinet.
Holy shit. Wow.
Oh. But yeah, Tanya the Evil is fucked up. And this is, I think I explained it, where basically the whole anime's gist is a dude's a total corporate dickhead and gets murdered by somebody who he mm-hmm. dicked over. Mm-hmm. He gets pushed in front of a train, and God is like, "That's what you get, motherfucker." And he's and this is the guy who's like, "Yeah, you're God, huh? Well, fuck you. I don't believe in you." Like, time is stopping.
How much of a dick do you have to be?
So
you're dead, motherfucker.
And this, so basically, he gets shoved into an alt history World War One with magic as a baby girl.
You told me about this.
Yeah, I bitched about it a couple weeks ago.
And yeah.
Like, man, this is such a garbage, unappealing show. And it's still pretty unappealing. Like, the character designs are intentionally ugly for the main character because she's not supposed to be an empathetic character you like. She's literally called the Evil.
Mm-hmm.
The Saga of Tanya the Evil.
Yeah.
And basically, she's forced into, like, this special weapons program because she has this high magical power. And basically, the device is about to – the magic device she's prototype testing is about to fucking go nuclear on her. And God shows up and freezes time and is like, "What's up, bitch? Just so you know, if you don't want to die, you better start praying." And he's like, "What? Anytime you want to use your magic – you will have to pray to me, or you will explode."
Eesh.
And it was just like, really? And then she's like, squeaks out a thing, and oh well, her prototype stabilizes, and she can use the magic, but she hates it, and she's like, "There is literally nobody good in this show. They're all dicks. They're all evil of some sort. It's World War One Germany, so it's World War One, which is obviously not a good thing." Japan, what the fuck?
You also have that weird war military obsession.
Yeah, it's like, let's fictionalize some war. I don't know, man. There's some dumb shit, but then there's always at least one or two really cute good things that make you realize, like, yeah, this is a great industry. And there's lots of boring, stupid shit that panders to certain things.
Yeah.
I think, like, there's three or four bicycle anime this season. There's, like, the Bike King Club one, which I kind of, we watched, we dropped after one episode. Then there's another biking one that's, like, girls, right, it's like schoolgirls bike club, schoolgirl bike racing club one, and then there's Yaomushi Pedal season two, which is boys road biking and racing. But it's all bicycle anime. I don't know, man. It's some weird shit. And that's been your anime moment. I'm just like, That's something I can talk about that's not the horrific reality of politics.
What other non-political things can we discuss? What else is going on in our lives? Work.
Work.
Stress.
Family bullshit. It just like...
Stress.
Konosuba season 2.
I don't know what that is.
An anime.
Oh, okay. Right. Sounded like some really dirty sex act.
Interviews with Monster Girls is really cute, too.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that one.
It's real boring, though. It's super slow-paced.
Cute but boring.
Cute but boring, and that's a problem. My cue. Classicaloid's fucking weird. That one's still going, I think.
No, I don't know.
The spirit of great composers are brought back into, like, flesh androids.
So here's some news, but it's really bad news.
Okay.
But it's not about politics.
What bad news do you bring, Buzz?
This season is Peter Capaldi's last season on Doctor Who.
Oh, that's right.
He's going to regenerate again. So the show comes back April 15th. So there'll be a season there, and then there'll be a Christmas episode at the end of this year. And the Christmas episode will be 12's last episode. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing him in another season. But It really sucks that he's leaving. And, you know, they're keeping up this 3 seasons per doctor thing, basically.
Yeah.
And kind of like, I really want someone to stay around for like 5 or 7 years, you know? Like,
that would be nice.
He was a really good doctor, and I'm not ready to let go of him yet. But there's that. What are you giggling about?
I flipped open the Reddit app on my phone and was looking at RRuby, because Ruby is also another show that I watch, and it's also reaching its season finale very soon.
Okay.
And the volume four, chapter 11 character status chart, it's just a fan thing where people are like, all right, what is this character doing at a given moment? And one of the characters who died last season is not here right now. Please leave a message. All right, he's going to be joining me. And then two other characters are like, death flags? Ugh, I hate these. They're so powerful. And then another character is being listed as literally getting hit with death flags. So it's like, will they kill another redhead this season? Who knows? But there's a character named Weishni. She's this... literally means white snow, but her status is listed as sneaking around.
Aww.
Made me giggle, because then someone's reply was the "We are number one."
Mm-hmm.
Why are you wearing the world's least stealthy heels? It's a good question.
Excuse me.
But yeah, that sucks about Peter Capaldi, because I've seen of it, I liked.
Yeah,
but only 3 seasons per doctor, and sometimes even not that. Like, oh, we didn't get to do enough. Didn't do any shows this season. It's only a Christmas special.
Yeah.
It's hard to be a Doctor Who fan, but you know what? It just adds one more doctor to the list you need to meet.
Ugh, damn it.
They're expensive.
I'm getting caught up. Like, So I've now met 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, and 12. It's not bad.
So now you just need to meet Capaldi.
No, he's 12. I've met him. Okay. The new era doctors I haven't met, Christopher Eccleston, number 9. And since he was like, no, fuck this, never doing it again, I don't really see him doing cons for a while.
Yeah, until he needs money.
Yeah. And of the classic doctors, the only one I haven't met is 4, who's still alive. So the first 3 have passed away. 4, Tom Baker, is like 84 or 85. He doesn't do U.S. cons anymore, as far as I know. Mm. He does a few in Britain, but like at his age, he doesn't really travel like he used to, from the sound of it. So I kind of don't really hold out much hope of meeting him. You never know. We'll see. But I'm really glad I've gotten to meet a lot of the others. Remember we were talking about Marvelous New Year's Eve and how like underattended it was. Like, I actually got to talk to Sylvester McCoy for a few minutes because like it was really quiet.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, we were talking earlier.
About cons. Yeah.
About cons, because. You know, we don't have a structure here. We just bounce point to point. Marvelous New Year's Eve, or what was it called?
You got it right. Marvelous Nerd Year's Eve. Yeah.
Yeah. They took a massive fucking bath and no longer exist as an LLC.
Yeah.
People didn't get paid. Craters happened, and the people who are at the helm will face financial repercussions for it, essentially.
Mm.
And it kind of brings up 2 other points. I made a video a couple years ago at this point where it was like – it was literally a 20-second long video. It's like, hey, I run this con. I'm a founding member of the other con. Here's my advice to you if you want to start a fan convention. Don't. And I got some random bitchy comment related to, because my video got associated with some other like actual 45 to an hour long length videos on like how to run a fucking convention. And mine was just like, don't. If you think you want to do it, don't. And I'll fucking stand up and say it. Like, at least when it came to Fiesta, like, a furry con is a real low startup cost. Because basically, as long as you have a decent, like, meetup group, like, a decent level of meetups in your city and enough furries, you can run events real inexpensively. And I say real expensively, like, $10,000. I think our year one Fiesta budget was, like, $11,000.
And that was all
raised out of our own pockets.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of us in the beginning. But, you know, you look at things like Nightmare Nights under budgets are in the like $65,000 range, and that's if, you know, we're hitting our room nights and all that shit. It's a lot more if we don't. But that goes to another thing. There was a PonyCon in Jersey that they're like, they set up a U-Caring. A U-Caring is kind of like a GoFundMe where it's crowdfunding, but there's no rewards. It's not like a Kickstarter. It's not like what HavenCon did with their funding. Mm-hmm. Or like you pitch in and you get tickets to it, right?
Right. Because it's like how they're getting super sponsors, basically.
Yeah. And for this, like these guys, they set up their thing just like, hey, help this con survive to another year. We want $35,000. And I'm like, what? And I'm just like, are you that much in the hole? Is that what you're trying to do? It just kind of blows my mind that a convention, which I don't know if they're a 501c or an LLC. I guess I could look it up. But
doesn't really matter at this point, does it? I mean,
well,
even if they're a for-profit LLC, they're clearly losing money.
Well, it matters, I suppose, if you're a for-profit asking for donations. It's a little weird.
Yeah, but with cons, for-profit doesn't always really mean for-profit, well, you know?
Yeah.
Technically, your con's for-profit. My con's
technically for-profit and has actually made teeny, tiny, 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 tiny amounts of profit any given year. But it's also not been like we haven't begged for donations either.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean, it does seem to add a layer of skeeviness, but at the same time, I'm also kind of like, actually getting for-profit status is...
Or getting non-profit status is getting, hard.
It is difficult. It is kind of a bitch.
Where is... I'm just trying to find more about the fucking goddamn... What about us?
Your dang old...
Out. There we go.
Yeah, it's in their drop-down thingy.
Every three dickies and my little pony. Da, 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 da.
Can we cut this part?
Well,
where we're,
it doesn't matter.
We're trying to look up shit on a website. Like,
I'll just truncate the silence out of it. It's okay. But it's just one of those things where it's like, conventions are incredibly hard businesses to run successfully and requires a shitload of people with knowledge and experience starting up. A convention on your own with minimal knowledge and enthusiasm is a good way to put yourself in the poorhouse, create your finances and your credit, and maybe cause your parents to divorce.
It's only happened a couple of times.
Yep. It has happened.
Yeah.
So there's our dire warnings. If you think you want to start a convention, don't. Unless you have a cable of very smart people with experience and or disposable income. And a willingness to put all that shit on the line.
Mm.
But, yeah. It's just so weird where people are like, oh, we'll talk about doing a convention for 45 minutes to an hour, and the bottom line is just don't, dudes. Just if you really, 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 really want to get that experience, volunteer with your local conventions. Like, Furry Fiesta always needs volunteers. Akon always needs volunteers. Nightmare Nights always needs volunteers. Anime Fest always needs volunteers. Be willing to show up and do the work, and you can get to see how the sausage is fucking made. And then, and maybe then, you'll either get it out of your system or that crazy seed will grow.
I got it out of my system.
Yeah.
Like, part of it is, like, I see other cons where I'm like, oh, you're doing all these things wrong. I could really help. And then I have to remind myself that, no, I'm already driven crazy with a day job and a full-time and a business of my own, and I just can't do it anymore. I can't split my attention like that. And yeah, seeing how the sausage is made is not pleasant.
Nope. It's pretty crazy. So we're going to stop and save real quick, and then we'll have a message from our sponsors.
Really?
Anyways, we'll be back. And we're back. That was a song. That like 10-second little interstitial thing. We had to stop and save because we'd been realized we haven't said thank you to our patrons in a while. We have our Patreon, and it's doing pretty well. We're happy with it, at least. And you can find it over at patreon.com/podcast. And here we are to thank all of our patrons. And every one of you is welcome. It's a buck an episode, whatever, works great. Hell, you can even set a limit to be a buck a month. Every little bit helps. So thank you to Kylie Rogue, Ziggy Darklow. You guys are getting the think of you and moan as I clean my ears. Oh, yes, you guys are super cool and give us a lot of money every month. We appreciate it a lot. And then Jaden and Riven Scythe and Shadow DeWolf. Which, thank you very much for becoming patrons. But also, Wooltrack Superon, Joel Noel, Darthus, and Zirian, and Piper Malone, and Mog Moogle, and Rayfar, and Dustin Klaus, and Chase Foster, and Anonymous Wolf Griffin, and Festive Pinball, Brian Rainey, Ricody, Arvid, Hamid Gifford, Idis, the Wolfie Man, Ooh, Lunatara, Kilkoto, Realm, Jamie Hamill, Rax May, Seven Twigs, Michael Creeder, Nikolai Watson, and Ramuros. Thank you guys. You guys help make this podcast go further. Plus, yay! It's just like, hey, we can do stuff and repair shit and have done so, replace things that are old and broken. Incidentally, as we are doing the, like, shill thing, if you use our coupon code NOD at adamandeve.com, apparently they're doing the 50% off an item deal for a little bit. So if you need some dongs for Valentine's Day, it's good till the 14th.
Yeah.
Adamandeve.com, coupon code NOT, K-N-O-T. You know, I hear all these other shows, like, last podcast on the left, right? They got all these, like, they have Adam and Eve, right? And they also have like Blue Apron and random audiobooks and stuff. And I'm like, man, a show about serial killers can get ads for stuff. How cool is that? But I don't know. We're not shilling that hard for this.
Like, wait, you want to talk about serial killers so we can get sponsors?
Well, I have actually got this really cool book. Where'd it go? It's actually over. It's actually there in the bag to your left. Fuzz, pull it out.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Serial killers and psychopaths: true life cases that shocked the world.
Yeah.
Half-price books.
Yep. Nice. It was the second edition version of that, so it's expanded, and it generally covers serial killers and people from, like, the 1800s.
Great. First page I opened to is a dude who got arrested here in Dallas.
Sweet. Which one?
Richard Speck.
Richard Speck. What was his shtick?
The 8 nurses who were subject to Richard Speck's ghastly attentions.
What was the... Does he have a nickname? Because I think I've listened to that episode of last podcast. I'm
not sure.
But yeah, I picked that up and I'm like, I should totally do a YouTube series on this. Just be like, use that as a baseline and then do some independent research and be like, talking about serial killers.
He was called the Speckler. No,
no. The Speckler.
He'd go in houses and be like, you've been speckled. But he'd jerk off on the ceiling and then he'd kill you.
It starts off on, like, Jack the Ripper and goes forward from there. Jack the Ripper being the... They're doing actually a 5-part episode for last podcast.
His most obvious thing seems to be that he has a tattoo that says Born to Raise Hell.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Page 171 starts.
Yep. It's, it was $7 and I had a coupon for $5 off. So, yeah, Bloody History, Victorian Nightmares. It's by Charlotte Grieg and John Marlowe. And it's got serial killers. Serial killers, another talk about Charles... Carl Panzerim was gang-raped at the age of 14 and, by way of revenge, forcibly sodomized more than 1,000 boys and men, as well as committing at least 20 murders. Wow.
Jeez.
Ed Kemper shot his grandma once in the head and twice in the back and went on to murder his grandfather, his mother, her friend, and 6 female hitchhikers. Wow. Serial Killers and Psychopaths provides a concise yet detailed look at some of the most dangerous individuals who have ever lived. Authors John Marlowe and Charlotte Grieg present a carefully chosen cross-section of the history's most infamous criminals whose fascinating life stories are viewed with an unflinching gaze, marking for a chilling but engrossing read.
Sorry. Okay, you have to flip through this. So
all right. New. Donald Trump's White House policy says female staffers should dress like women. Woman dressed as a snail. Woman dressed as a mantis. Woman with 6 eyes. God. So I hashtagged that earlier as, like, dressed like women, and I was like, Lucina and Samus and Agrius and some, like, take on a Final Fantasy knight, Final Fantasy Tactics knight, like, heavily armed and armored. It's like, yes, dressed like women. And you said one there was dressed like Princess Leia.
Yep. And I just retweeted dressed like women space edition, and it's four women astronauts in their astronaut gear.
Or, like, dressed like women end of the world edition, you get Michonne. So, you know, two katanas and a fucking some armless zombies on a leash. Yeah. It's like, just chop off his arms and he can't grab anybody pussy again.
That's how we deal with Trump.
Yep. So, do we have any asks this week?
I think we had one.
Yeah, we've got a couple, I'm sure. I haven't updated the thing. And that's okay. It's fine for us to just talk and stuff because, well, what can you do, right?
So we... Oh, we got it asked, but it's just, do you still have a Telegram group? The link on Tumblr doesn't work. So I guess the Telegram link expired, so it needs to be updated on the Tumblr.
Yeah, I'll update it. Oh, speaking of, though, if you go to foxzephyr.com/downloads for the time being, you can at least...
Don't tell them about that. Don't tell them about that. No!
No! You can download our terrible old episodes from episodes 1 to episodes 255, which means there is overlap between the that downloads and the start of the RSS, because the start of the RSS is 128. So it is now entirely possible for you guys to go and download the entire history of this misbegotten website, or misbegotten podcast, in one go, from our horrible beginnings to our horrible now, bringing quality old gray muzzle entertainment. You can hear us become more jaded with time. See the rise and fall of my enthusiasm with the pony community.
That's so true. Oh my God.
Me losing weight.
Gaming sass. I don't.
Yes. You can see the rise and fall of our enthusiasm in many things. Our optimism and the grim reality that we now live in.
Yes.
Do it now. Before we decide to say fuck it and delete everything. Much like burning books, we don't
burn podcasts.
Don't burn podcasts. Digital preservation is important. Put it out there on the internet. Somebody make a torrent. Episodes 1 to 337. Do it. I'm sure somebody has all of them.
Oh, what a nightmare. Well, I know I do.
So, let's see. Someone did ask a question. Hey, Notcast, who is the artist you mentioned on 336? Couldn't hear the name clearly enough. The one who apparently posts nice Zootopia stuff.
Didn't we answer that at some point?
Well, we can say, well, there's Birchley. There's Rose. There's Glacier Clear. Those are the three off the top of my head who have posted good stuff.
We were probably discussing a specific artist at that time.
Weaver does cute, minimalistic, but expressive stuff.
Yeah.
Trying to think who else, because, like, just pulling names off the top of my head. What's nice, though, is that the artists that do a lot of Zootopia stuff have been drawing a lot of the Virgin Killer sweater. So... I love Japanese meme clothing. Like, the last three things that have come out of basically being as our quote-unquote Japanese meme clothing would be the keyhole sweater, which was last year, which is the sweater with the boob window, which was funny because people drew all their characters in it, dudes in it, like anthro ponies. They had, like, oh, there's a spot for my wings in the back. This is great. stuff like that.
Yeah. And
bird characters also. Wow, this thing has... pre-built wing slots, great. The cat lingerie.
Yeah.
What, with the cat boo window and the cat-looking cat head panties, that was also a Japanese thing. Mm-hmm. And now the quote-unquote virgin killer sweater. It's not much of a sweater. It's more of like, it has a turtleneck, but it's basically just a tabard kind of thing that covers the front and then goes around low around the butt.
Mm-hmm.
Which means it's absolutely perfect for anthro characters because the bottom goes under the tail.
Yep.
Fuck yeah. And so you've now seen every fucking character in the world drawn with this piece of clothing. And the reason it's called the Virgin Killer Sweater is that, like, in the descriptor somewhere, basically it was said that if were a woman to wear this, a virgin would become so aroused he would die.
Oh, okay. All right.
That was the, like, on, like, the descriptor on, like, Pixiv or whatever, where it first popped up. Because it's, like, probably just a one-of-a-kind thing.
Because the 12,000 gallons of blood in his body would just shoot out his nose.
And he just flies off into space where he dies from both, you know...
Lack of blood.
Lack of blood and lack of oxygen.
Right.
But at least he dies with a boner.
Yeah. It's the last part of him that has blood.
Yeah, but... Birchley, who I just mentioned, they just posted a pic of Gazelle.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of Judy. There's also tons of Nick. And it was funny because there was also one of Kana from Miss Kobayashi Dragon Maid. She's like, she's a little girl, but it's full size. So it's like the turtleneck's around her head, like around her mouth, and it goes all the way down to the floor.
Uh-huh. That's funny.
It's just like...
Mm. But, of course, I've already found a couple of Fluttershy.
Yeah.
Because, it's perfect for Pegasi as well.
Yep. So plenty.
The back's open. Plenty of wing room.
Dressed like a woman, space edition. Yeah. That with the four lady astronauts.
Yep.
But, yeah, Virgin Killer sweater. Look it up, kids. It was funny, though. When it first came out, it looked on E621, and there's only, like, 5 instances of it.
Uh-huh.
But I bet if I go look now...
There will be more.
There will be more. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to look for sweater because the tag, I'm not sure what the tag is. Okay, there's a Judy in the sweater, which is cute. She looks very perturbed. Let's see what the tag says. Da, 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 da. Virgin Killer Sweater 63 with that specific tag. Let's see.
That's higher than 5.
Yep. There's an owl. There's various Utopia characters, a deer. What's really funny is when you have the male character, June the U. That's another really cute blog.
Mm-hmm.
June the U. It's a Zootopia-type blog, but it's like her thing is, doesn't this kind of defeat the purpose of a sweater? So, Virgin Killer Sweater, look it up, kids. It's fun. Wholesome entertainment.
Wholesome entertainment. Indeed.
But yeah, when you have... like male characters or people wearing it backwards because then it's just like tits hanging out.
Hang on. Sorry, I took my glasses off to rub my eyes.
Oh, sorry, fellas. Here's some tits. Like somebody drew Tyrion from Ruby in that. It's just like, what? When you draw male characters in the thing, it's just nice.
Yeah.
So Tyrion being a crazy villain. Crazy villain scorpion man. 0 out of 10 would not hug. On account of being a crazy scorpion man.
Right.
But yeah. See, it goes right under the tail for most anthro characters.
Yep.
Perfectly designed for furries. And also not much of a sweater.
No. But that's why you have fur.
No, what'd be really funny is, like, you have a illustration of Finnick trying to wear it. It's just the collar around his head and just a pile of cloth because it's not fur. It's not Finnick-sized.
Right, yeah.
It's just like, this isn't sexy at all.
This isn't sexy at all.
Meanwhile, Nick is, like, next to him jerking off.
Yeah. Well, Nick rocks it pretty well. Got the long torso.
Ah, yeah.
He's, like, 90% torso.
Long fox is long.
Yep.
And bendy fox is bendy.
Yep. Did that Seth Aova comic ever finish up?
You know, I haven't checked it in a bit.
You know, we're both thinking of the same comic. Like, yeah, Nick and Finnick. Oh.
Yeah.
And then,
like, are they fucking yet? Let's see.
It's like, all they were doing was, like, teasing him because he was dressed in the nurse outfit. But, yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah. Oh, I mentioned this. I don't remember if I mentioned to you. I mentioned someone. There's a new indie bookstore opening here.
Oh, yeah.
It opens in May. It's called Interrobang Books, named after the punctuation symbol, the Interrobang, which is a combination of an exclamation point and a question mark.
Nice.
It's going to be at the corner of Preston and Royal, where there's currently a Barnes & Noble there. It's actually going to be across the street from the Barnes & Noble.
Huh, okay.
Which is an interesting move.
Yeah, that's down where that burger place we went to a few times used to be, I think.
But yeah, there's like a big plaza there. It's two pretty busy streets. So
is it a big one or a little one?
Yes, it's going to be pretty big. Yeah. It's I think they said 5,000 square feet, which a good chunk of that's the sales floor. But they're also going to have a meeting room for book signings and speakers that has seating for 100 people.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be like a little event space too, all book related. So I'm interested in that. I'm definitely going to check that out when it opens. You know, and it sounds pretty cool. So if you're a bookie type around Dallas, you know,
have you had a chance to go by Kinokuniya or Kinokuniya?
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah. Oh man, that shopping center is like a nightmare. Like, I showed up there just a random evening, right? It was fucking packed. Like, it is just absolutely busy. Because, I mean, we were talking about this before on the show. It's like the basically a little Asian cultural center, you know. So you've got Chinese, Japanese, you got restaurants, bookstores,
Korean,
Daiso Japan, other little retail shops and stuff like that.
Asian market there that's really really nice inside.
Yeah.
It took over the Hobby Lobby. We turned it into something useful.
Oh, okay.
An Asian supermarket.
Oh, okay. That's what used to be there. Oh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that area. That
shopping center is super full now.
Yeah. Wasn't that area kind of dying at one point? It was. And then it's like
packed now. But basically,
now.
Like, that area around Super H Mart, around the time that the Spa Castle like finished up and they like finished the road repairs or mostly finished the road repairs around there.
Yeah.
Shit really kicked back up. The place has always been pretty full on the north side there. We're talking about Old Denton and Trinity Mills,
yeah.
AKA the Bush Turnpike here in Dallas.
Yeah. And this is like the southeast corner.
Yeah. I think. If we want to talk about southeast corner is where the Daiso, the Kinokuniya books, the 24, like Market 24 or whatever, Asian supermarket, and like a billion dessert cafes.
It's like what like going to the mall on a Saturday night was like 20 years ago, where, you know, the parking lot is just absolutely jammed. Like,
and I think it's great.
For rows and rows beyond the stores. The store itself, I'm not really at all into anime or manga. And not majorly into like a lot of Japanese stuff. So there wasn't really a lot for me. Like it was kind of neat to walk around and stuff like that. There was a few books. There wasn't as many prose books as I expected for it being a quote bookstore. They had a lot more, they had a ton of manga. And they had a lot of like little Japanese knickknacks and stuff like that. Like they had Pushin or Pushkin? I can't remember.
Pushin, the cat.
Pushin, the cat. They had a lot of the cat merchandise and stuff like that. So not as many books as I would have hoped for. But, you know.
I haven't had the chance to check it out. I should go.
You should check it out. You'd probably enjoy it.
I'd probably dig it, yeah.
Because there's a lot more stuff that you're into than I'm into.
My weeb ass would be interested in.
Right, yeah.
But also there's like those little dessert cafes and there's a shop that specializes in plush over by the Super H Mart. It was on the northwest side there.
Mm-hmm.
They have a fucking Korean-style PC gaming cafe that's just past the light there on to like where you turn right to go to Spa Castle. It's like on the northwest corner there.
Okay.
It's like the first light past the
bridge. Trinity?
Yeah. It's just – the area is really growing back up, and I think it's great because it's just hey, here's this – cultural ass area.
Mm-hmm.
And what's nice is if you go north, that next shopping center up there at the corner of Frankfurt and Old Denton is also getting taken over by Asian businesses.
Cool.
They have apparently there's a Korean barbecue place that like has billboards on 35, so it's there, and I'm like, okay. And that's another shopping center that's filling up with new businesses.
Yeah.
So, like, that particular sector is seeing some good growth, and that's great.
Yeah, it's neat. Like, Carrollton in particular seems to be doing a lot with trying to get new businesses in and fill up some of these older shopping centers and stuff like that. Yeah,
well, I mean, look at where Mina's is, right?
Yeah.
We're talking a corner of Trinity Mills and Marsh Lane.
Right.
Southeast corner. Like, that was a fucking empty ass shopping center. And then the gym came in and like they redid the entrance and stuff. And that place, we were going to go to Mina's tonight for dinner, which is a Mexican place. It's really good. And we couldn't find a parking spot. The place, the parking lot was fucking full.
Yeah, this is a Thursday night. It's not a holiday or anything as far as I know. You know, it's a random weeknight. And we're like, oh, let's do dinner at Mina's. So apparently that's a bad idea. I mean, we do lunch at Mina's and it's not that fucking packed, you know?
But just everybody was going to the gym and going to the restaurants around there. It's
because they've got they have a Chinese buffet place in there now, too. That's pretty new. And that gym went in there.
Even the little shopping center that has the condoms to go has filled back up. There's like an eyebrow threading place. There's Texas Toy Soldier, which is a miniatures wargaming shop.
Yeah, I think there's only like one empty spot in that strip.
That place was mostly empty except for the condom place and the cake place next to it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, there's also a diving school. You can learn to dive.
Right.
But even there's a new board game shop that opened up on the corner of Midway and Frankfurt.
Oh.
Like Boardwalk Games or whatever.
Hmm.
It's on the southeast corner there. I've been meaning to check it out.
So
I'm pretty sure Tyrion knows
about it. Okay, Midway and Frankfurt. So, yeah, that's not Midway. Trinity is where the Keith's Comics is. Yeah.
So it's the block north of there.
Okay, yeah.
The major
You road. Should tell Tyrion about it just in case he doesn't.
Yeah, because it's nice to see that our local area is doing all right.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I really want to go over there, eat all the Asian food. Go by Kinokuniya.
It's times like this, I wish I wasn't allergic to soy. Then
go visit the little dessert cafes.
Mm-hmm.
And even Daiso's fun. It's a Japanese dollar store.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, it's basically a dollar store, except it's Japanese dollar store goods.
Cool.
So it's just different dollar store goods.
Yeah.
But you can get Japanese snacks and shit real nice, real inexpensively. Pocky and whatever.
Pocky is literally the only one I know.
But they have all sorts of other stuff, too. Lots of soy.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
There's probably a shitload of soy in Pocky. I mean, I don't eat it.
No, it's basically biscuit, cookie, and
a little bit of chocolate, yeah.
There's no soy in that. Now, my breakfast this morning, I had a fucking block of tofu.
God, did you really?
Yeah.
What's it taste like?
Well,
I guess it depends what it's flavored with or whatever.
This one was Thai peanut. It was two for a dollar at Town Talk, so it was like, oh, it's a random food I haven't tried. I'm gonna buy some. I'll spend a dollar on this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I fried it up in the pan and it didn't taste like a lot of anything. So I added some sriracha. Like I'd had like I had a bunch of different sauces in my fridge.
I added a fucking shitload of bacon and then it was tolerable.
Yeah, it's like it's vegan, ethically sourced, and all this. I'm like, this shit needs some bacon.
How can you have an unethically sourced soybean?
Just scream at them.
I love you, plant.
Except it's like, that's right. I'm gonna shit all over you, you fucking beans. I hate you. Like you throw them onto the bean wiggler.
The bean wiggler. That sounds dirty.
It's just a box that like has those little paint shaker motors, and it's like you put the beans there, like just because you're being mean to them. You're being mean to the beans. Don't be mean to the beans.
That's your cunnilingus technique. Hey, baby, I'll show you the bean wiggler. And then you get down there, you go.
Initiate vibration motor. You know, just going to say, Hitachi Magic Wands, do not go there. They do, just don't turn them on high.
Oh.
Doesn't go well. It could go well, but in my experience, it doesn't.
Wait, that's what they're for.
Yes, bad. Not on high.
Oh, okay.
You've used the Hitachi Magic Wand
before, right? Yeah, it has two settings, low and, well, I guess maybe some of the better ones have more.
Low and Clit Destroyer.
Right, yeah.
Do not use Clit Destroyer, because it will do that.
Do you want to come now with no weight whatsoever? Done.
All right, you're done. And get back to work. Oh, goddamn, you thirsty bitch. All right, cool. Come here. All right, done.
I like your fucking changing tires with, like, the air gun for the lug nuts. Ah, man, I get women off all day like this.
God, and then you have a fucking, like, dildo attached to one, and it goes... Jesus. That sounds... That'd be bad. Don't do that, kids.
We replaced a sex shop with a mechanic shop. Let's see if they notice.
Oh, yeah, what she needs, she's got her windshield fluid needs to be replaced, and her headlight fluid, and looks like she needs a... Just a good coring out with this here air dildo on an air gun. Gonna change your tires and all that shit. This ain't tire. This isn't Cars 3. So,
did the vehicle, Cars 3 turn gone scarily sexy or something?
You know. So the question: did the beings in Cars 3, do they have life insurance or auto insurance? Yeah, that's just a fucked up universe. Don't think about it, kids.
Like, doesn't pay you to look at anthropomorphics too closely sometimes.
Well, anthro cars, anthro planes, anthro helicopters, and anthro A10. Oh no, senpai, watch out! I'm gonna burn.
Did they make a planes?
Yes.
Sequel or sidequel or something?
There's cars, and then there was a planes, and I think there was another planes like direct to DVD thing.
Uh-huh.
And they're doing a Cars 3.
Right.
And they had to really pull it back because people were like, holy fuck, this is dark, what the hell? So they had to like add further footage where it's like him recovering after a career-ending injury.
Oh, okay.
Like, it went from this fucker's dead to this fucker had a wreck and is alive and perfectly okay, but he's never gonna speed that much again. Because his arms exploded.
Oh, jeez. I want to say I saw the first one at a fair meet.
I haven't seen any
of them. But I haven't seen any of the others.
No real interest.
Yeah, it didn't really, like, grab me, you know? It was all right. It would have been okay if I was a kid, I guess. Apparently they do really well, though, so they're going to keep making them. Kind of like the Land Before Time movies.
They're still going.
Somebody tweeted a picture of a box set. Like, yeah, you could enjoy all 14 films. It was like, Jesus. That's a lot of dinosaurs.
Let's see. More KinKat art. Oh, God.
Is this the porn stream in our...
No.
Chat?
Someone tweets, like, for the last time, son, there were emails. That's a picture from The Road.
Yeah.
And... Pixel Kitty's post, dressed like a woman, and it's Furiosa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, God. So if you want to have fun, hashtag dress like a woman and put all of your favorite well-dressed video game heroines.
Oh, fucking Ripley from Aliens.
Yeah. The power suit. Thing. The loader.
The loader. Yeah, I was thinking of her holding her fucking gun with the flamethrower, but yeah, the loader.
I like the one where she's got like the gun on one arm and the kid in the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Just post pictures of Ellen Ripley and include, you know, Trumpkin's Twitter account and be like, dressed like a woman.
Fucking, man, motherhood makes my ovaries throb.
All right. Well, what else? Because it's 9:30 and we're both tired. It's been a long existence and yet we persist.
It's been a heck of a year, huh?
It's only February. Well, again, we're sticking with it. You do too. You guys can always follow us on Twitter at Notcast. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/notcast. You can find me on Twitter at Savin Drake. You can follow me on YouTube at JustAFox or justafox.com. Finnick.top to my, as at the moment, dead Twitch channel, which I've been bad about. Just family bullshit has kept me from streaming for a couple weeks at this point, but I'm trying to get back to it. Buzz, where do you exist?
My personal Twitter is just at Fuzzwolf. And I have a Tumblr and an FA. They're all at Fuzzwolf. I don't use them very much. And my company stuff, for planet.com for print books, baddogbooks.com for ebooks. The books are doing pretty well. They're keeping us busy. Oh, God, we got to get ready for Fiesta now.
So, yeah, we'll have tables at Fiesta. We were actually on the waiting list at FWA, and we got in. Mm-hmm. So, looks like Tyrion and Savern will be heading to FWA to sell stuff there. And we got into Rocky Mountain FurCon, and we have tables at Anthrocon. So that's what we're doing so far this year. I will do MFM again if I'm in town. But
if you find your ass somehow in Memphis or Olive Green or whatever.
Olive Branch, Mississippi. No, I say Olive that. Olive
Garden, Mississippi, whatever.
I say that because that's the weekend my sister is due to give birth.
Oh.
So if I'm in town, then I'll go to MFM. If I'm not, it'll be because I'm in Florida, hopefully about to see my niece or nephew. So
let's see.
So, yeah, it's kind of like I kind of keep my plans open. I'm trying to save a few. I'd like to try and save a few days off, too, because, like, I'd like to go out there and be with her. But, so we'll see. I'm not sure if Tyrion's doing anything else. Mm. I know he's taking a road trip with a friend to Utah, I think, here in a while. So
I do want to say there is a bit of good news.
Oh.
And I was reminded thereof by a fucking asshole furry being shit about it.
Oh.
The Boy Scouts.
Yes, I heard about that. Have decided that
they will allow trans youth to be involved.
Yep.
Much like the Girl Scouts. They're like, you know what? We should do this too. So now it is entirely possible to be gay or trans and participate in youth scouting organizations.
I'm really surprised about that, actually.
I am too.
Because, like, they sort of very grudgingly went along with allowing gay scouts.
And then
to just, like, a year later make the leap and be like, you know what, we're cool with trans scouts, too. I mean, I think it's great. I'm just really surprised that they have continued to be progressive about who they let into the scouts.
And I'm just like, because this fuckhead is like, so the BSA is letting trans people in. I'm going to be in the corner thinking about what's wrong with my favorite youth organization.
Oh, who said this? Let me see.
The fucker's name is...
Don't give them the coverage. No. Just show me the...
Well, I retweeted it. Well, fuck you, you fucking fucker.
I never heard of this person.
Yeah, just some fucker. He's a fucker, in case you couldn't tell what our opinion on it.
Yeah. So
good on the BSA for being there. I'm still going to buy cookies over popcorn.
Yeah.
I like cookies more.
When I was in the Scouts, we sold fucking first aid kits.
I sold chocolate and popcorn.
Okay, you know? Chocolate I could see. Yeah.
They were pretty decent. They were a little like, they were decent chocolate with like almonds and shit. They were like a dollar a bar.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I might have sold those in school.
I did those at school too.
Yeah.
I never sold much popcorn.
No.
But
popcorn's not like cookies, man. Those cookies have a rep, you know? Just.
But yeah, this douchebags thing is, well, scouts should not be politicized in the first place. These dumb motherfuckers are like, oh, you're a trans person existing? You're political. No, fuck you.
I know, right? I'm just like, that's not political. That's just letting...
There are many people that should be deleted. But yes, the tweet that I retweeted was, fuck off, you piece of shit. Trans kids deserve to be included. It's not politicizing, you cunt.
I don't know. They might have an opinion one way or the other.
Yeah.
On that. And, you know, I'm sensing a little bit of an opinion. But that's good on them. It's not
good on BSA.
Not
yes.
Buried a lead. They did a good thing. That's great.
BSA, yeah, it's like that is something good we can talk about. That's something briefly we can touch on. There was something good that happened.
Yes. You know, and trans boys and all boys will need to learn those skills about how to survive in a wild, you know, especially in the next 8 years, the collapse of fucking civilization entirely. You know, they're going to need to be able to fucking start a fire, kill zombies, whatever.
Hey, got to learn somehow.
You know, the Girl Scouts, you know, they got Furiosa to lead them.
Yep.
You know.
So we'll end up on that good note that the Boy Scouts did something right without having to be forced to do it.
Yes.
Good on you for once. I'm still going to buy Girl Scout cookies. On that note.
Good night.
And big balls.